This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
You know, politicians want to force you to cover your face as a way for them to cover their own asses.
Mark Reardon.
Does the president not know what's going on?
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Wow. Wow is all I will say, ladies and gentlemen. What a night. I'm a little exhausted here today, running on, I'd say, if I'm keeping count here, 8 Diet Cokes and adrenaline. Fred, how about you? Did you get any sleep last night?
Yeah, I got about 4 hours.
I think I got about 4 hours, too. I kept staying up because I wanted to see what Jennings was going to say, and they were holding him captive on CNN last night. Look, Harris is about to speak here. Please don't tune out, okay? We're going to air, I'm begging you, we're only going to air a little of it because we want to hear what she has to say. She's at Howard University in D.C. It is ridiculously embarrassing that she didn't do this last night, but, I won't say what I'm tempted to say. There's a bunch of things. I got to be careful today. I really do.
You do.
You know, and what I would say, Sue, is I want to keep this on the up and up. I'm not going to gloat today at all.
For a minute there, I thought you were serious.
Oh, my God. I'm going to gloat like crazy. Are you kidding? Then we'll get to the business tomorrow. Look, one of the things that I do want to do, if we got to start getting down to business, is should we put the Hollywood celebrities in first class or coach when they move to Canada? These are
in, can never we, go anywhere.
Can That's... we pass? Yeah, they're so fun. But can we pass an emergency spending bill to fund all this? Elon probably would pick up the tab, right? But there's so much to cover this afternoon. And I don't think, maybe, some people out there, there were some people that predicted this right, but I didn't think it was going to be this good.
Let me ask you this. Did she have anything to say? What excuse did she have for not speaking last night?
I don't think there was an excuse. I mean, we're sitting here waiting for things to wrap up, and all of a sudden, what's the guy's name that went up there, the campaign guy, basically, we were getting reports that the crowd was thinning out, all right? They were leaving, and they were crying, and there was a lot of sadness, and then they came on and said, look, we're not going to do this. I think that maybe they were just completely unprepared. I have no idea, but this is going to be interesting to see what she says after calling Trump a Nazi, after calling the rest of us who support Donald Trump, you know, a threat to democracy. There's a lot of confusion on the part of the left this morning, and I'm very worried about them. I've been worried for weeks, and I'm seeing this manifest itself in some pretty, you know, bad ways. I was telling Fred this right before, about an hour ago, I get a shot taken at me by one of my closest friends on the planet. If you had to group three people in my life, they're my closest friends, this is one of the top three, takes a public shot at me on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't text me or call me and tell me I'm a Nazi? You got to be kidding me. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. And that's the kind of thing that's going to happen. I've had people, one friend of mine said that at his house, these are Chesterfield folks, so they're the elites. You have to keep that in mind. The house cleaner got into it with his wife because the house cleaner was Israeli and thought Kamala was dumb. She was correct. And my friend's wife didn't take well to that because she doesn't like Trump. My advice would be just have her take a look at the portfolio today. And I think she's going to feel a lot better. For all the Chesterfield wives out there, just kind of look at your stock portfolio, right? Have your husband show that if you don't have access. And I think you're going to feel a lot better today. I really do.
I'm going to check now that you said that.
Oh, it's been a hell of a day on Wall Street for sure. Well, I hope she gets started here because I do have things that I want to do and get to. Let me, Sue, I don't know if you heard this last night, but Ethan and Fred and I were all in here, and we're going to give some shout-outs. I have Election Day shout-outs that I want to get. I have an entire list of people that I want to cover. But Will Scharf came on from down in Florida. And why do I have that, Ethan? Because I'm going to need it right now. And at 9:10 last night, in our first segment in the 9 o'clock hour, we took the air, John Lamping and I did, at 7 o'clock. And we were paying attention to the New York Times needle. The needle is interesting to me because in 2016, John and Michael Kelly and John Hancock and I all sat in the KMOX studio. Fred was there. And this New York Times needle was pretty prevalent. And it showed, I think at one point in the evening, so I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's like a little, you know, gas meter, if you will.
Yeah.
And then in 2016, it said Hillary Clinton at the beginning of the night, 85% chance to win the presidency. Then it went to 83, then it went to 81, then it went to 80, then it went to 75. She lost, right?
Wow.
So they brought back the needle last night, and it was interesting because in the course of an hour, maybe 90 minutes, you had a situation where you had, it was pretty much dead even. They never really put Harris's chance at the Electoral College into the win column, but they did have her at plus 1.5 in the popular vote. And then the needle started moving. It moved to 1.3. Then it moved to 1.
Oh,
then it moved to 0.8. Then it moved to 0.3. And then finally, at this point, this is when you know she's not going to win, realistically.
Right.
Because if she doesn't win the popular vote by 2 or 3 points, okay, she's not going to win the Electoral College. So the writing tends to be on the wall at that point. But then Will Scharf comes on the air and does this.
But things are electric here. We feel incredible. I just heard you say that you're not ready to call all these states. I am going to call this race for President Donald J. Trump with 95% certainty. Based on what I've seen, I believe President Trump is going to break the blue wall. I think he's going to win all of the blue wall states. I think North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, all looking fine. With 95% certainty, I am calling the race for President Donald J. Trump.
Unbelievable. That was so awesome. And he was right. He was right. And he went on, by the way, to predict the House and Senate control as well in that same conversation.
And what was really cool about that is that he was down in Florida with Trump.
Oh, yeah.
At his campaign party.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, you know, when it comes to the, we're going to update you on numbers here because, look, the state of Michigan just got called for Trump. They were holding off until this afternoon. But the Senate races are still kind of working themselves out. Jim Justice, first one in West Virginia. That was the Joe Manchin seat. So that one was going to automatically be a flip to the R's. We kind of knew that one. Tim Sheehy, of course, wins in Montana. That result didn't come until later. But the big story of the night, probably, and then there were more, was Bernie Moreno winning over Sherrod Brown in Ohio. That was a huge victory for the Republican majority. Now, right now, this is where we sit. Mike Rogers, I think, has been declared the loser in Michigan. Slotkin won that. It was very, very close. Even though Trump wins Michigan, Slotkin's going to hold that Senate seat. So that's a D hold right there. And this is where I was kind of hoping on hope last night, because my friends in Wisconsin told me if Trump wins by a point and a half in Wisconsin, which I think he did, that Eric Hovde would be kind of dragged over the line in Wisconsin. That didn't happen. Tammy Baldwin won. So they did not pick up. The D's held in Michigan and in Wisconsin. Dave McCormick, though, in Pennsylvania, that looks like a win. I don't know if they've declared him a winner. Pennsylvania was called, but that looks like another pickup. Then you have the races out west, and those are still questionable right now. It may take a couple of days to figure that out. I'll give you the numbers right now. Gallego is up by 3 points to Carrie Lake. I think Carrie Lake's a flawed candidate, and that's probably why she's going to lose. But Brown, this is interesting. Brown might win this race in Nevada. It's like 0.5. The margins on these things are just crazy right now. It really is. I mean, I'll get you to some totals here of the Missouri ballot issues, for example. Thank God the people of Missouri came through for me. It's all about me, Sue, on sports wagering. But, I mean, you're talking about 6,000 to 7,000 votes that decided that issue. You know, we've been saying this for years, and I don't remember these narrow margins when I started covering elections in 1984 and 1988. But if you don't think that every damn vote counts at this point as an American, I don't know what to tell you, because every vote certainly counts. What states am I missing here? Oh, yeah, I covered Arizona, Nevada, Michigan. Yeah, right now, that's kind of where we're at. Now, the House, they are hopeful. Mike Johnson and the Republicans are hopeful for a few seats pickup. That's or maybe not a pickup, but holding a slight majority. Now, this is important, too, because I think the conventional wisdom going in was the Senate was probably going to be safe, maybe by narrower margins than we ended up having, but that the House might be lost. Well, that didn't happen. So now you have, not only are people flipping out because Trump won, and, you know, the meltdown on MSNBC, on CNN, on The View this morning, on Twitter, on Facebook. Facebook is a very toxic place to be right now. And I've kind of known that. I got off of Facebook after the assassination attempt, the first assassination attempt, because it was so toxic. And I've gone back there just to post pictures of my daughter and of my grandchild, but I'm pretty much out of Facebook. But it's a terrible, terrible place to be right now. So I would recommend to people that they avoid it. But it was a hell of a night. And I think that there are a lot of different messages that are being sent by the American people. But here is Kamala Harris speaking at Howard University in Washington, D.C., finally conceding the race. Here we go.
And had this speech last night and gone home and been thinking about everything today.
I feel for Maya Rudolph.
Delayed.
I think that SNL character is probably not going to have a lot more time.
Okay, I think
she was very good at it.
I think we got faked out.
They delivered the address to put it on the stand and then walked away.
Okay,
yeah, so
sorry.
She'll be up next.
So I have something that I really want to do here, and I don't want to start because I don't want it to be interrupted, unfortunately. So I'm trying not to launch into the next segment. There's so many things that I want to get to, not only pieces of audio from overnight or this morning. Fred, your mic's not on.
What else are we going to talk about today then?
Nothing.
No, well, we've got Brad Young coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Well, one of the questions there is on, you know, some of the legal challenges. Look, listen to Letitia James in New York. Fred shared this audio.
So here we are. We studied their platforms. We've identified certain possibilities, fact patterns. We've created contingency plans. So no matter what the next administration throws at us, we're ready. We're ready to respond to their attacks.
Well, that sounds scary, doesn't it? Wow, whatever that's going to be. You know, when I went home last night, we got off the air at midnight, and Ethan was still here. Ethan was texting me after I got home that they finally had called Pennsylvania, because they didn't do that when we were sitting here on the air. But then I wanted to watch what was happening on the rest of the media. So I tune into MSNBC. They're apoplectic, of course. CNN was kind of, at one point, at about 1 in the morning, John King was standing around his maps trying desperately to give the audience hope that maybe Kamala Harris could still pull this thing off. And it was kind of embarrassing, to tell the truth. I sent Jennings a message. I said, pray for John King, because this is not a good look right now. But I was waiting, Fred, for Jennings to come on, and he kind of went dark last night.
Yeah.
So I was texting our friend Joe Arnold in Louisville, and we're both worried. He was like, Jennings, we haven't heard from Jennings in 5 hours. And Joe's like, I think they put him in a hotel, and they're keeping him for the morning show or something like that. But they were just running through their panel, and they finally got to him at like 3:30. I do have some audio from him. But you had, I mean, I'm so confused. David Axelrod and Bakari Sellers, both in two different instances on CNN, heaped praise on Kamala Harris along these lines. This was such a well-executed campaign. It was run flawlessly. There were no gaffes or embarrassments. These are actual quotes. I mean, I don't know how you can be more disconnected from reality. She was an awful candidate. She kind of rivaled Hillary Clinton. Congratulations, Democrats. Are you kidding me? It was unbelievable. So the American people made the right choice because they saw through all this. And this is a very big statement about the Fourth Estate. We're going to get to that, because the media, who embarrasses themselves on a regular basis, and I got into this with a friend today, too. You know, everybody says, Mark, you're the media. Well, let me explain the difference between the legacy media, when they do agenda journalism, CBS, NBC and MSNBC, ABC, CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the LA Times, the list goes on and on and on and on. And they're all on the same page. Trump's a Nazi. You guys are, you know, a threat to democracy, over and over and over again. Then the guys, you know, attempted to be killed twice, not just once, twice. And last night, they're talking about, like, some of the things that they brought up. You guys are kidding me. Morning Joe. I think I have good Joe Scarborough. Freddie, you tell me to take a break because we're worried about it.
I think so.
Yeah, maybe we should. Let's see if I have one Joe Scarborough here to get into the break. Here's one.
Democrats are going to have to confront some realities that they haven't wanted to confront in the past. They didn't want to confront the past issues on the border. It took them too long to confront that. We talked about a transgender inmate ad that ran 30,000 times that the Democrats refused to respond to, despite the fact it was Donald Trump's own policy, because I guess some people in the campaign, and we talked about this before, thought it might be, you know, maybe they were too woke to actually respond to a false ad.
So he criticizes them along those lines, and then...
One that I just saw that's going to be staring them in the face for some time if they don't do something about it is that 45% of Hispanics voted for Donald Trump.
45.
This also, if you look at this, if you look at younger voters, you look at all these different... We've all been talking about a new Republican Party. There needs to be a new Republican Party. This morning... This is about as bleak as any time for Democrats since the so-called 1984 San Francisco Democrats. It's time for the Democrats to take a good, long, hard look at how this happened.
And are you kidding me? All of a sudden, he has this epiphany the morning after a complete ass-kicking by a Nazi. Then Joe Scarborough all of a sudden comes to terms with the fact that, man... We really, it is confusing. We really need to look in the mirror and come to terms with all these things because look at what just happened. The idiots on The View did some of the same thing this morning, but then they got into their craziness. It was a little disappointing. Quite honestly, I had higher hopes for The View being unhinged. I think they'll get there eventually, ladies and gentlemen. All right, my producers are looking at me saying, take a break. We're going to do that. We'll get to a little bit of Kamala Harris. I have a big list of election shout-outs that I want to do. And it's a great list, and I want to share it with you coming up here.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That didn't seem to be going anywhere with the vice president. So I think we're going to move on here this afternoon. You know, in preparing for a show like this, we were on the air a lot last night. We took an hour break. Senator Lamping joined me. We had a cast of characters, and I was trying to figure out a way how to execute the first hour of the show. And I came up with a list today of election shout-outs that I would like to give. And they kind of run the gamut. Some of these have a little snark in them. Some of these are very serious. And I want to start with all sincerity with my daughter, Alexa, because when I woke up this morning, there was, so I don't know if you saw this on Twitter.
I did see it.
There was a note that she wrote that said, I love you so much, Dad. I even was brave enough to put my reading glasses in the picture because she put them on my reading glasses. I love you so much, Daddy. Sorry you had such a long day. I love you. Love, Alexa. And I have to give a shout out to her because she's been dialed into some of this. You know, I've had to warn her about saying some things at school. And I thought that was very special. Another shout out here. Fred Bottomer, the Hall of Famer. Good Woo! Lord, if we don't thank Fred here at the beginning.
How about Fred Bottomer over there,
Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen?
People don't understand how much Fred and Ethan and Trisha, how much they do behind the scenes, and it's incredible. Fred manages everything that has to do with this show and with election night, and I could not do it without him, and you know that, and I mean that
Thanks,
sincerely.
Mark.
Thank you. Thank you to Fred. I got to give Wiggins a shout out because he did these great sounders for us, right?
Oh,
like
let
this.
Me hear
the results are in.
And I arguably underused them last night. So let's say that Michigan is called like it was like an hour and a half ago. We would do this.
Stamp it red.
And then, you know, when California gets announced,
stamp it blue.
I just love those. he did. I can't play the open because it was like a 2-minute open, but he made a really good open too. And I was a little sad we can only air it once. Fred, I'm going to miss some people, so I'm going to include the whole cast of everyone in this, but I particularly want to thank John Lamping. John has been with me now for 3 straight general elections. We are dear friends. We have been for a long time. We do not agree on every topic. I promise you that. But we have spirited debate on our conservative side. He is a great analyst, and he's on top of this stuff. He's very, very smart, and I'm honored to have him as a friend and a contributor here. Scott Jennings, someone else that I am honored to have as a friend, and God bless him for doing what he has been doing on CNN, keeping it real. And I'm genuinely worried about Jennings because this has been rough on him. He's been having a little fun with it too, but there's been a lot of shots taken at him. He's got people on that set that don't like him very much. He knows that, but I'm told by him that CNN management has his bat back, and I think he might get a show. Look, if CNN's smart, they give him a show. They gave him a damn show. I hope he doesn't go to the administration because then I'll never see him again.
That's a good point.
I want to give a shout out to the American taxpayers today. And this is why. And this is an undercovered aspect of the election. If Kamala Harris wins, everyone's taxes go up. Do you realize that? Do people get that? You have a candidate for national office that pretty much campaigned on raising everyone's taxes. They lied. They said it was only the rich people. But the Trump tax cuts will expire. They will not expire. They will not expire. Your taxes will not go up. They're likely to go down even more. Congratulations to the American taxpayers. I want to give a shout out to 250 years of this country in 2026. I'm very serious about this. I deeply, deeply appreciate this country. The freedoms that we are offered, we take it for granted. We take for granted what the greatest generation afforded us. And we need to think about that. And the sesquicentennial is coming up in 2026. It was horrifying to me to think that people who don't even love this country, like Kamala Harris and that brigade, were going to be running the birthday celebration for the United States of America. That was sickening to me. And I remember, you guys remember 1976.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were proud Americans.
Yeah.
Proud Americans. And we can do that again. And I think we're going to have a hell of a party in 2026. I feel so much better about that. Shout out to my friend John Ziegler out on the West Coast. Because for the first time, Sue, I think I was right and Zig was wrong. I can't believe it. He always beats me on these things. But he had this prediction. He stuck to it. I was giving him shit last... Oh, sorry. I shouldn't say that. But that's okay. We won't dump it. Giving him trouble last night. And I said, it's over. This was after Will. I was using it. He goes, based on what? I'm like, based on she's underperforming in every district. They showed a map last night on CNN. They tried to light the map up to show where she had not underperformed, where Joe Biden was. They couldn't find one spot in the whole country. Okay,
oh,
that was
gosh. Interesting
as well. So thank you, Zig, for being wrong this time. I'm going to forget a lot of people, but shout out to Elon Musk and the Avengers. Lamping calls them the Avengers. If Elon Musk didn't buy Twitter, think about where we would be right now. Honestly.
Where
would the country be? And here's my hope. You know, I'm entertained. I try to entertain. Hopefully I do entertain. But I care about the issues. I really do. I care about the country moving forward. And, you know, you have a situation with Elon Musk that there is a hell of an opportunity. With the resources that he has, these are good things that can happen for the American people. For the American people. The people who pay taxes in this country. Scott Pressler. You know who Scott Pressler is?
Nope.
He's the guy in Pennsylvania that may have won this whole damn election because he went out there and got the Amish, 80,000 Amish signed up to vote. He's the guy that is the hero, perhaps, of this entire election because he got the job done. You're facing the Obama team, the best in politics, right? The ground game is better for the Democrats. You got to get people out to vote. They got people out to vote. Scott Pressler, look, I'll tell you, he tweeted something out today because, you know, nobody knows his name, right? Unless you're an insider. And I got to see this because there's so many different tweets. I have to find this in a second. I'll find it and I'll come back to it.
I have someone to add to this list. Can you keep going?
Well, I'm
going to
keep going here.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll send you that. Let me see if I can find this.
I was just
going to
stall with that while you found
it. Go ahead. You do it while I do that.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he's on the list. Yes,
yes,
absolutely.
For stepping up, first of all, for interviewing Trump, I looked that up yesterday. 45 million people watched that interview with Trump and Rogan. 45 million.
That's unbelievable.
And I'm telling you, this is where the kids go because they don't watch TV for actual. This is the only long form way you can hear any candidate speak. And then he came out and got behind Trump. So.
Well, look, he's on, I'm glad glad you mentioned it, because I should have mentioned it with Elon when I said et cetera. I think there's a whole group of people. So this is what Scott Pressler said. Since I'm trending right now, this is what he said on the X. Name is Scott. I'm an Eagle Scout. My mom and dad share true love and have been married for 44 years. Started off as a dog walker, organized a cleanup in Baltimore, launched a voter registration organization, helped deliver Pennsylvania for Trump. Elon Musk, the first person to weigh in on that. Thanks, Scott, because that guy played a huge, huge role. And thank you to the Amish in Pennsylvania. We love your furniture, and we love you. Shout out to The View for being hysterically entertaining the past few months and unhinged. And you did let me down a little bit today, because they tried to play it all safe at the beginning, and they didn't get extremely wacky, not as much as they did on MSNBC. Shout out to my close friends on the left. And I'm mainly talking, you know, people have kind of responded to this because I tweeted something earlier today, Sue, where I said, you know, I am sad a little bit, and here's why. I have true friends. Like, I'm talking not acquaintances. These are people who have been in my life for a long time, in some cases 45 years, who may have decided to not be my friends. And that's incredible to me. I've never done that to anyone over politics. I've had it done over and over. I've shared this story a couple of times. I literally had someone at the Haven in South St. Louis years ago who I was introduced to through a friend of mine that heard my name, and she turned around and she walked away in disgust. Are you kidding me?
I know.
And whatever. Uh-huh. Right? This is my favorite part. Is she runs a children's charity here in St. Louis. I'm going to mention her name one of these days when my friend dies. I'm going to mention her name, but I won't mention it right now. Shout out to Clarence Thomas. You know why?
Why?
He gets to retire and have a good, good, comfortable retirement, because now he doesn't have to worry if Kamala Harris is going to appoint someone when he retires. He can ride his bus around the country. He can visit Missouri. I'm so, so happy for Clarence Thomas, and I mean that. Selena Zito, here is another hero of this entire situation. Bethany Mandel was tweeting about her today. Selena's been criticized. She's on the ground reporting, talking to real people. I'd be hard-pressed to find a better journalist in this country just to report on the realities of what's happening on the ground. And she's been attacked from all corners. It's been disgusting. Selena Zito is a hero in all of this. Some of these are in random order, so bear with me. Shout out to Saturday Night Live, because you haven't been funny in a long, long time. And probably what you're going to do this weekend is do the whole thing with the piano like you did when Hillary lost and be really sad. So good luck with that, because the only reason you're funny at all right now is because of cast members who haven't been there for decades, like Dana Carvey. Your current cast isn't funny. So this is a good one. I don't know who I saw a lot of people on Twitter, you know, saying things, and I took some screen captures of some stuff because I thought it was kind of interesting. And some of these people, I don't even know who they are. But this guy's name is Coop Lopresto. Shout out to Coop Lopresto, who says, when all the non-racist, non-misogynist, non-homophobic, non-bigoted, everyday, ordinary people get so sick of calling them racist, misogynist, homophobes, and bigots that they go out and vote against your candidate, do you A, reevaluate your personal conduct and strategy of convincing people to share your politics, or B, call them racist, misogynist, homophobes, and bigots and yell at them even more? What we're getting today is B, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen. So shout out to the crazy people out there doing that. Shout out to the Alphabet Mafia, ladies and gentlemen, because they really put this whole trans issue on the map. And I want to thank them for that. I want to thank Jamie Reed. There's a shout out to Jamie Reed here in St. Louis, the whistleblower at Wash U, a very, very important issue. Shout out to California voters who overwhelmingly made it a crime again to rob people. Go figure. Go figure that would happen. It was Kamala Harris who passed Prop 47. She was behind that, saying, you know what, if you want to rip stores off, you want to ransack places, don't worry about it. We'll get you a social worker. Fred, you've been around politics a lot, right? 70% of people in California, 70% of people in California approved Proposition 36. And the idiot that just ran for president on the Democratic ticket couldn't even say she approved it, because she didn't, because she wants to be a social worker. So shout out to the people of California for also getting rid of the Kim Gardner of the West, George Gascon. Keep in mind, the people that would have been part of this administration if Kamala wins are the same people who want to defund the police, that want to give the criminals all the support and love, and they want to give them a hug, right? California voters are having none of that. Gascon sent packing. And Gavin Newsom in the LA Times, well, they They supported both of those. They supported Gascon, and they did not support Prop 36. Shout out to democracy, because it worked. I'm not particularly pleased with Amendment 3, but the people spoke, right? We had our say in Missouri. Shout out to sports wagering. God bless you. It only passed by 7,000 votes, but my friend Rick in Las Vegas was about to implement a 12% fee on my wagers, and this is going to save me money in the long run. My peeps in Wisconsin, shout out to them, because they brought home the state of Wisconsin for Donald J. Trump. I was kind of amazed by that. Eric Hovde, though, did not get across the line. Shout out to Riley Gaines. This was a funny tweet, by the way, today. Someone tweeted, I haven't seen a woman lose to a man this badly since Leah Thomas. Shout out to Hollywood celebs. One question, first class or coach, right? Shout out to the Fourth Estate. You've embarrassed yourself more than anyone ever thought was possible. And you haven't learned your lesson. You really have not learned your lesson. And this is going to be interesting to see moving forward. Shout out to Mike Kehoe, the next governor of the state of Missouri, who's going to join me next. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome to the program the next governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. It's was a heck of a evening last night for our state and for our country. So with the exception of Amendment 3, I was very happy with the results.
Well, let's kind of, before we get to Missouri, just kind of talk about what happened nationwide. I was doing our coverage here on 97.1 FM Talk with former Senator Lamping, and we had Will Scharf call us at like 9:10, Mike, 9:10, and say it's over. And, you know, I wasn't quite ready to make the call at that point, but that really was an incredible night. You look at the margins here, and I'm glad that they were big margins, because I think the country's going to be better off when it comes to healing, especially with Trump winning the popular vote.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I heard somebody on the media this morning that they said, boy, one thing on my bingo card was not that Trump would win the popular vote. I think most of the people I know that kind of understood national politics felt like he would win the Electoral College. But the winning the popular vote, to me, says a lot of things about Americans, and it also says a lot of things about what they don't want more of. And they don't want more open borders. They don't want more inflation. They don't want boys being girls. They're comfortable that the body that God gave you was right. I think that was the statement that the country made last night.
So not to put a lot of pressure on you, not that you don't have enough already, but there's a lot of high expectations from Mike Kehoe in the governor's mansion, and I think they're justified. And there's a lot of hope, and there's hope from people, as you know, Mike, that are on the other side, some of our friends on the left, because there are a fair amount of us out here who want to actually accomplish things for the state of Missouri, and we need good leadership, and I think we got that. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. So, you know, this morning already, Mark, we transitioned from campaigning to governing. And by the way, that's two different very skill sets. But it's probably the piece I'm most comfortable with is 35 years of small business. So started off this morning at 7:30. We've had multiple meetings. That already done a press conference. I've talked to 15 leaders from around the state already, mayors, county executives, congressional, U.S. senator, et cetera. And just letting them know that, hey, we're here to get something done. The screaming and hollering part is over with, and let's actually govern.
So, you know, one of the things I think that some folks who have been critical of Governor Parson and other Republicans is the lack of willingness to do maybe some big, bold things. And this concept of maybe getting rid of a state income tax is floated every now and again. I know that's a big thing, right? But is that something that's on the table for you?
100%. I've been very vocal about that. We've already worked on a couple of that. Those plans today, and within the next few minutes, I'll be meeting with future pro tem in the Senate, Cindy O'Loughlin, and Speaker John Patterson to just work on our priorities. And definitely, as part of our economic development package, that is something we are very much going to shoot for to get done. And I think they're excited about it as well. Hey, anytime you put money in Missourians' pockets and versus some governor elected official, it's a good day.
So, you know, St. Louis is important to you, Mike, because of your roots and obviously the city of St. Louis in crime. One of the things that I find interesting about yesterday, I mentioned this in my monologue, is, and maybe this is an undercovered story, but if you look at the numbers from California, Prop 36, which once again, remarkably makes it a crime to rob people, it was overwhelming. 70% of the people in California, even without Gavin Newsom's stamp of approval or Kamala Harris's, said, we've had enough of this. And I think that feeling is overwhelmingly representative here in St. Louis, even with Black people, right? With African Americans. They're tired of the crime issue. Do you think that the results from last night may lead to some improvements here in St. Louis?
Absolutely. You know what I've been saying for months, Mark, and I think I've said on your show before, we as a country, and for sure as a state, and St. Louis as a region, needs to make it easier to be a cop than a criminal.
Yes.
We've had those roles reversed for quite some time. And I've already talked to leaders in the St. Louis area this morning, and they know it's a priority for me. Absolutely. I'm not surprised at the vote in California, even given their kind of left-leaning ways that they have out there, because it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, whether you're from an economic background of very much success or a poor economic background like I'm from, North St. Louis City. People just think they understand right and wrong here in Missouri. And then in California, I'm thankful that they do too, that we need to stop coddling criminals. We need to put them away. We need to get our streets safer. That's how neighborhoods grow. That's how businesses grow. It's a fundamental 101 of what I want to get done.
When it comes to other priorities, what would you include on that list?
Well, so crime is our number one priority. We're already working on our crime plan, and you'll see that unveiled as we go forward. I've got actually law enforcement agencies, along with General Andrew Bailey, working on that plan as we speak and have been for the last several weeks. Economic development, including tax reform that we just talked about earlier, and then regulation rollback, because I call those ghost taxes. We don't need unburdensome regulations on businesses that essentially is an additional tax on them and Steiger's, you know, absolutely stops job growth and capital and deployment from those businesses. Education reform is something we're very big on. Senate Bill 727 was a big push last year. That was a start to that. We have some other options we can do for parents as well as in continuing education and career and technical education. And then last but not least, growing our ag community. It's our number one industry. We need to continue to feed and clothe the world.
Have you taken a step back? You probably have done this, Mike, but I mean, I've never been on a ballot before. You're going to be the governor of the great state of Missouri. That's pretty awesome. You have to reflect on that a little bit, right?
Well, it's emotional.
Yeah, it should
really
be.
Is. Yeah, I said last night, you know, we had a victory for a lot of people. I think we had a victory for our cops and firemen. I think we had a victory for small businesses. I think we had a victory for agriculture. We had a victory for workers. But we really had a victory for single mothers. My mom raised six kids by herself. And if that's not something that hits home, it's certainly important to me. And if that doesn't hit home with Missourians, anything's possible in this country. If you want to work hard, you have a good parent. In my case, my mom was a hero and a saint. And this is a victory, really, seriously, for our single mothers who are raising those families by themselves.
Well, again, congratulations. One favor I have to ask you this afternoon while I have you. If Trump swipes, you know, Schmidt up in the administration, can I be the next senator from Missouri? Will you appoint me? Because this radio thing, I'm not sure I'm in it for the long haul. You know, podcasts are taking over and stuff like that. At least include me in the names and the list, Mike.
You know, certainly Eric Schmidt is qualified to do that, and he'd be. But, you know, everybody I've called and talked to today, your name is the one that surfaces in every conversation.
And
it's unbelievable you would bring that up.
Yeah, it's ironic.
Uncanny.
Kehoe, yeah, you're awesome. Congratulations. Thank you so much. And we got a lot of opportunities, and I look forward to it.
Hey, last but not least, thank you to my St. Louis family, my St. Louis friends, and all the people in St. Louis who supported me. I'm humbled, and I won't forget where I came from.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mike Kehoe. Governor Mike Kehoe, we'll see you soon.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.